Guys, you know, my name is Lavik Greenspan.
Well, I mean, it is one word. One is the other one.
My name is Lavik Greenspan. First of all, thank you guys. You guys are tzaddikim. What tzaddikim helped me out, all you guys. As some of you know, when I learned in Israel, like you guys, which is an incredible matana from Hashem to learn Torah in Israel, some guy called my house, some guy said, Lavik must be short for Leviticus. So some guy actually called my house, can I please speak to Leviticus? My father goes, I'm sorry, he just took an Exodus. So if you like to take an Exodus, trust me, I won't know you're gone. Some of my dates do all the time. You know, Monday night I'm going back to America. Wednesday night I'm actually seeing Channel 2 is doing a special on me. Blind man sniper kills Obama. If I help you guys visit me in jail. You better, Ethan, you better show up if you know it's good for you. I take you down, I fly like a butterfly, stick like a queen. My name is Muhammad Lavi. Anyway, all seriousness, if you look at Parshas Vayeshev, that's when the whole story of B'nai Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim started with Yosef HaTzadik. And Parshas Miketz, Yosef HaTzadik is giving valuable information to Paro how to save the Egyptians from the famine by building tremendous warehouses. And then you think everything is going okay? And what happens in Parshas Shmos? It says, Paro did not know who Yosef was. And I think Rabbi Yamin Jacobs, he's Ramatis Yael Solomon Shlita's son-in-law, he said, based on Rashi, he said, Paro did not want to know who Yosef was. Because if Paro would have known what Yosef did for Mitzrayim, for Egypt, Paro could not even touch one Jew. If Paro would not be able to do what he did to B'nai Israel if he really knew who Yosef was. Then our Jewish little boys are getting thrown into the sea, and we're getting enslaved. And imagine you were a slave in Mitzrayim. I can only imagine that some, not all, but some of us might say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where are you? We are the kinderlach of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Where are you? And then what happens? Esamakus, Kriyas Yamsuf, we get gold and silver, we get the Heiliger Kadosh Diktaira, and we're in Eretz Yisrael. And I think the message of the story of Mitzrayim is that we don't understand Hashem's ways. But at the end of the day, you see that everything Hashem does is for our best. And I think that's a message for life. You might go through some hurdles or bumps or challenges in life. But you have to realize it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all from your Tati, Avinu Avrahaman. He does nothing to hurt you. And at the end of the day, whether in this world or next world or Mashiach will come, hopefully because of, you see it's all for the best. And you see from the following story, how important to know that Hashem is a Father. He does nothing to hurt us, and we are his precious kinderlach. Banim hatem la'Hashem Elokeichem. In September of 1994, I started Fordham Law School in Manhattan, and I used to live up near YU so I could be near Beis Medrash so I can learn Torah. Well, in October, November, I started to notice that every time I got off the subway, I was always running towards the water fountain. I was always thirsty. So I thought maybe I have diabetes, because one of the signs of diabetes, you know, you're always thirsty. So in January of 1995, I went to my doctor, Dr. Schoenfeld. He's a former Yid. Dr. Schoenfeld checked me out, and he goes, Lavi, you don't have diabetes, but come back to me a month from now. So I figured if he said come back to me a month from now, no need to go back to him at all. It's not an emergency. So from January to May of that year, second semester of law school, I noticed I was constantly waking up all night, constantly going to the bathroom. I was very hyper, very excited. So I really thought it has to be one of two issues. Either a psychological problem, or I just hate law school. In relation to the law school problem, I signed up for a social work school that had a summer program. In relation to psychological issue, I started to go see a psychologist. It was in between my first and second session with the psychologist when my mother goes to me, you know, you haven't been back to the doctor for a long time. Go back for a visit. Go back for a checkup. So I went back to Dr. Schoenfeld, and I had this big, fat, bloated face. Not a big, fat, bloated face. Not like Alex Rodriguez. Trust me, I don't take drugs. Dr. Schoenfeld took one look at my face and said, Lavi, you have Cushing's disease. You have a benign tumor. He then sent me to Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan to an incredible, incredible endocrinologist, Dr. Levine, when MRI and CAT scan was ordered to be taken in order to find the exact location of the benign tumor. They found it on the pituitary gland right below the brain. They then told me I would need two operations to remove the tumor. One was a 9.5-hour open head surgery, and another was a 6-hour operation through the nose. I owe tremendous gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Baruch Hashem, both operations were successful, and Baruch Hashem, I got to go home. About 2 weeks later, I had a checkup with one of my surgeons, and about a day or two before the checkup, I noticed something unique, something out of the norm. I seem to have a lot of mucus in my nose. So when I showed up for the checkup, I go, "Doctor, is it normal I should have such mucus in my nose after having such operations, after having such surgeries?" He goes, "It's not mucus. You're leaking fluid from your head. You have a CSF leak. You're now going to require another 4-hour operation through the nose to close up that leak." When I woke up from that operation, I turned to my doctor and I said, "I think I'm still leaking. I really believe I'm still leaking." He said to me, "There's no way you're leaking. You just underwent a 4-hour surgery. You're imagining. You see, when we take the cotton out of your nose, you see all it is dry blood. You're not leaking." Sure enough, when he took the cotton out, I was still leaking. It was not dry blood. I then had to undergo another 4 to 6 hour open head surgery to close up that leak. During that summer of 1995, I had a total of 4 operations. After the 4th surgery, they told me my vision would not be 20/20, because they told me in order to get to the benign tumor, they had to knock the optic nerve out of its place. But then my vision would restore itself. I forgot whether it was October, November, December, but Baruch Hashem, I got back my 20/20 vision. Around February or March of 1996, I started to notice that every time I ate, food would come flying out of my mouth onto my clothes. So I got in contact with the Dr. Bookbinder, Mount Sinai Hospital. He told me, due to all the operations, scar tissue or skin wrapped around the jaw, and that's why I couldn't open my mouth fully, and that's why food was falling out. He told me I would need to undergo another 1.5-hour operation, in and out the same day, to cut away the scar tissue. After I recovered from that surgery, I started to undergo radiation treatments to remove what was left of the tumor. I think I went about once a week over a 5-week period for the radiation. I owe tremendous gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I had no nausea, no hair loss whatsoever. When the radiation was completed and the treatments were over, I was hoping that this would be the last time I need to step foot in any hospital except Mount Sinai, except maybe for an occasional checkup, but hopefully no more operations, no more surgeries, no more radiation, no more major medical procedures. I was hoping this whole episode of my life was coming to an end, was coming to a conclusion. I have a good friend, Jonathan Kaplan. He was getting married in St. Louis, Missouri in August of 1997, and he invited me to his chasna, to his wedding. At that time, my sister's in-laws happened to live in St. Louis. They said, "Levine, no problem. You can stay at our house, drive our car. You know, our house is your house. Mikas is too. Sukasa, make yourself at home. Do whatever you want." I actually looked for the credit cards. They didn't leave any. I was one day back in their car up into the garage when I hit the side wall of the garage. I figured, whatever reason, I missed the side wall. I didn't make much of it. I apologized. I said, "Don't worry." When I came back home, my father goes to me, "Your sister and brother-in-law are coming back from Eretz Yisrael, from your brother-in-law's brother's wedding. I'll drive my car to the airport and you drive theirs." So I was driving on the highway towards the airport when I cut a guy off. I went right in front of another car. I can't tell you how much gratitude I owe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that no one got killed, no one got injured, and no car was damaged. But I realized there was something wrong with my eyesight, with my vision, if I cannot see another car on the highway right next to me. So I went to one ophthalmologist who referred me to another, who said to me, "Don't worry, you'll come once or twice a week to my office, you'll do computer exercises, and you see your vision will restore itself, you'll be okay." So I used to go to his office, like he told me, once or twice a week to do the computer exercises, but what he told me, the opposite was occurring. My vision was not increasing, but was decreasing. I was seeing less and less. So I got in contact with the Dr. Joe Mindell. He's a newer ophthalmologist at Mount Sinai Hospital. And by the time I went to see him, I could no longer see out of my left eye. He said to me, Levi, there's no way I can get back the eyesight you lost, nor can I guarantee you're going to see for the rest of your life. I imagine when he told me that statement, those words, I was not jumping for joy. I tell you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed me with a beautiful, loving, incredible family. I couldn't thank Hashem for a better family than I have. My family did some homework, and they found out about Dr. Scott Foreman at Westchester County Medical Center. Dr. Foreman has a technique called the hyperbaric chamber. What that is, it's a glass tube. You line it for 2 hours at a time, twice a day, and you receive oxygen. Dr. Foreman told me undergoing this procedure, receiving oxygen twice a day, 2 hours apiece in the hyperbaric chamber, he can keep the eyesight I have. He can't get back the vision I lost, but he can keep the eyesight I have. And every time you enter or leave the hyperbaric chamber, a nurse takes your temperature. So one day I was leaving, and the nurse took my temperature. And she said, Levi, you have 103. Is anyone home? Who do you want me to contact? I don't remember what I told the nurse, but I imagine I told her, I'll take some Tylenol, some Advil. I can take care of myself. I'm an adult. Again, looking back, I see the great Yad Hashem in my life. The nurse didn't let me leave. She put me on the side for observation. She watched me and monitored me. My temperature went up to 105, and I went unconscious. I was unconscious for 3 full days. I had meningitis. When I woke up, they transported me back to Mount Sinai Hospital in an ambulance, where I then had to undergo another 6-hour open head surgery. After I recovered, that was my 6th operation. After I recovered, I returned back to Westchester County Medical Center to Dr. Foreman. I go, could I continue going into the chamber? Could I continue receiving oxygen? I was hoping to say, yes, we're going to do it. Don't worry, you're not going to go blind. We're going to save your vision. But you know what he said to me? Yes, we can put you in the hyperbaric chamber. And yes, we can give you oxygen. But unfortunately, since the treatments were interrupted, I'm not sure it's going to be successful. On Erev Chanukah of 1997, when I was 26 years old, I went 100% totally blind. I lost my vision. I'm not going to lie to you, but the Chanukah was my most difficult Chanukah of my life. This was the first time since I was a little kid that my father had to hold my hand to light the menorah. You know, Chanukah is one of the few yontes where seeing is everything. Baruch Hashem, you bochim probably spent an incredible Chanukah here in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. Walking the beautiful streets of Yerushalayim, seeing menorahs outside of people's houses, the flame, the wick, the oil, how incredible it is. Thanking Hashem that you're still alive. Thanking Hashem for that He gave you. Yes, I can thank Hashem that I'm still alive. And I can thank Hashem for that He gave me. But I can't look at other people's menorahs like my own. You know what it means not to be looking at Daf Gemara? Read a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel? Or can't read Rashi or Tosfos or Chumash? You know, about a week ago I had the zechus to learn with Rabbi Kiva Blumenthal Shlita. He had to read from the Sefer. I couldn't read from it. And Baruch Hashem, he's a huge masmid. I would love to be like he would, because I can't read from it. You know, when they're laying in shul, I'm not going to lie to you, I space out. I know it means to be at home, you want to look up a lacha, and you can't open up a Mishnah Brua, Shmi or Shabbos, or a Simcha Bunim Kohen Sefer. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, an incredible tzaddik, Rabbi Robert Spitz, he says word by word for me. I have 6 nephews and nieces, 5 of them live in Eretz Yisrael. I have no idea how they look. You know what it means to wake up in the morning and you can't admire HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful, incredible creations, such as a bird, a piece of grass, a sunshine and moon, a rain or snow, or a tree? You know what it means to walk the beautiful streets of Yerushalayim and you can't see the beauty? You know what it means to stand in front of the Kotel and you can't see its elegance? Someone asked Rabbi Yoshev, Zechat Tzadik Levacha, do I do Kriya at the Kotel? Rabbi Yoshev said, no, because he can't see the Kotel. And you know what it means is that not to be able to see the most beautiful sight of all? Not to be able to see a Jew, a Yid learning Torah in the Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim? Yes, I can go to the Beis Medrash, I can Baruch Hashem here in Yerushalayim, but I can't see someone learning Torah, which is the most incredible sight of all. So I went blind in my last semester of law school. My sister Marit Wolf was happily married, now lives in Eretz Yisrael. She volunteered to help me out with one of the finals, and Baruch Hashem, I passed that one. Two other individuals, David Becker and Seth Berkowitz, one was in law school, another one graduated, volunteered to help me out with the other final, and Baruch Hashem, I passed that one also. Then an organization that deals with the visually impaired, it's called the Lighthouse for the Blind, they came over my house, and they told me to tell my parents and my family that nothing in the house can get moved without telling me. The milk, the orange juice, the water, all stays in the exact same spot in the refrigerator. If someone moves it, I'm going to pour orange juice into my cereal thinking that's milk. And in my microwave, they put little buttons so I can feel it. All the doors in the house have to be closed. Someone leaves a little jar, I'll smack my head right into it. If someone leaves a package on the living room floor, I'll kick it across the room like a football. Maybe I could try it for the Jets. I heard they're pretty pathetic. At the end of law school, as all of us know, is the bar exam. So the course that prepares you for the bar exam is called Barbary. And that course was sued a couple years back by blind individuals. And they put the whole course on cassette tape. I live in Hillcrest, Queens, in New York City. And I called two people from my neighborhood. One of them was Rebbetzin Esther Krauss. And within 2 days, over 30 lawyers from my neighborhood, 30 Yidden, 30 members of B'nai Yisrael volunteered to come over one per night to help me study for the bar. The bar is usually 2 days, but disabled or handicapped people like me, we get 4 days. And we're allowed to bring in any friends or relatives to ask us the questions as long as they're not lawyers or law students. I think up to 10, 11 people volunteered to take the exam with me. And I owe tremendous gratitude to Akash Baruch Hu that I passed the New York State Bar on the first try. I received smicha from YU, and I recently received a social work degree. But people ask me what made me go on. Why did I stay home and cry for the rest of my life? Stay home and do nothing. So I tell you, besides my family, like I told you before, I thank Akash Baruch Hu for having such a beautiful, loving, incredible family. I couldn't ask Hashem for a better one. But besides my amazing family, there are 4 reasons I continued. The first one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. I can't explain you this, but since I lost my vision, since I went blind, I feel wherever I go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding my hand. When I daven, I feel I'm talking face to face, mouth to mouth, eye to eye to Hashem. I talk to Hashem a lot, even when I'm in my bedroom, wherever I am, I talk to Hashem. And I think the good Rabbanim say that. Hashem wants to enter into every Jew's heart and life, but you have to open the door for him. And you all could. Yes, of course you talk to Hashem when you're davening. But also talk to Hashem before you go to sleep. I'm telling you, just talk to your father, your Avinu Avrahman, your Tati. Just talk to Hashem. I'm telling you, he loves us. And the more you talk to Hashem, the more Hashem will enter into your life, and the more you feel him carrying you around wherever you go. I'll tell you a story. Just the other day, I was davening Mavi and Torah Shraga, and I had to go to the bathroom first. And I wanted to make Shmonesrei Mav, and I couldn't find the door of the bathroom. I'm not lying. The minute I was looking for the door, a guy walked into the bathroom, and that's where we heard the door. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of his children. But you have to let Hashem into your life. The second item that made me continue is my Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Parnashlita. I still remember when I was in intensive care unit, with wires coming in and out of my body. I still remember in the ICU, you were not permitted to have a visitor at 9:30 in the morning. And I still remember my partner bending over my bed in the ICU at 9:30 in the morning, and he said, Levi, I told the nurse I'm your rabbi. And she said, I can have 1 minute. That's all I need. I need to tell you one thing, I'm there for you. And Rapanis has been there for my family and I since this whole story started. My father calls Rapanis a malach, my mother calls Rapanis a father. So people ask me, how do I get so close to Ayud Rapanis? So I tell you, when I could see, I went and asked him every question in the book. Am I doing this halacha correctly? Is this the proper shkaf I should have in life? Is this what I should be doing for summer vacation? Well, Parnas was there in the good times, and in the so-called difficult times, he's been a major, major pillar of support for my family and I. You Bachim, you B'nai Torah, are blessed with incredible, incredible Rebbeim. From Rabbi Blasky to Rabbi Zinkin to Rabbi Schneider to whoever you have, Rabbi Green, I'm telling you, Rabbi Reichman, Rabbi Willis, you're blessed with incredible, incredible Rebbeim. Don't be embarrassed. Ask them any question book. So what you should do for Shabbos, summer vacation, to what bracha to make on the food. I'm telling you, develop a kesher with your Rebbeim. You see, when you have a kesher with your bein, you thank Hashem for having such incredible, loving tzaddikim to be there with you. And chas v'shalom, and repeat chas v'shalom, if you should face so-called difficult times, if you face challenging times, you'll thank Hashem for having your bein there to hold your hand. But I can't tell you how important to have a Rebbe in your life. I'm telling you, don't be embarrassed. Ask any question. Develop a kesher with them. The third item that made me continue is Klal Yisrael, the Jewish community. I still remember when I was in the hospital, my non-Jewish roommates, if anyone at all visited them, was their family. My family was there day in and day out. But besides my loving family, I had tons and tons of amazing friends. I had Satma women, Orthodox doctors, people from a local shul in Manhattan called Oyev Tzedek, this woman, Mrs. Khan, and this guy, Mickey, Zichet Tzadik Levacha. I'm guessing that the nurses must have been amazed and marveled at all at how many visitors I had. But I don't need to tell you how beautiful Klal Yisrael is. We know how great Klal Yisrael is. From Atzala to Tomchei Shabbos to Chai Leifand to Chaveim to tons of chesed organizations left and right. But all of us can do chesed. You don't need to be a multi-billionaire to do chesed. Whether I can tell you, Kiva Blumenthal does chesed every night by telling me a beautiful word. All of you can do chesed. Call your parents once a week and tell them a beautiful Dvar Torah. Or before you go to class, bring an extra pen, because maybe a guy in the shiur needs a pen. Or carry a little extra shekels, maybe a guy needs a little money. There's so much chesed you can do. And I'm sure some of you B'nai Yeshiva know that there's guys here who don't have place to go for Shabbos. Invite them with you for Shabbos. There's so much chesed you can do. And if you can't find, I'm sure Rabbi Blavatsky will tell you what to do. I'm telling you, do the chesed. You'll make the world a little brighter than before you came. The last item that made me continue is Torah. I tell everyone this. If a Kaddish Baruch Hu made me blind to teach me the points of learning Torah, then I understand. I can't tell you how much I miss Torah. I have such a dream that hopefully Bekal will come to what I'll be able to learn Torah again. I have my chavus in my mind who I've learned with and this form and everything. I'm telling you, I miss Torah tremendously. But through Torah, I realize that everything a Kaddish Baruch Hu does is gamzu l'Torah. It's for my best, even so I might understand how it's for my best. I don't know if you notice, but if you go to people's houses who don't learn Torah, who don't live Torah, who don't occupy themselves with Torah, they get consumed by the craziest things, like what color to paint the room, or who's going to win the Super Bowl. But if you go to people's houses who learn Torah, who live Torah, who occupy themselves with Torah, they don't get consumed by it, because they know there's much more to life than who's going to win the Super Bowl or what color to paint the room. I guarantee you, Bachim, I guarantee you, the more you learn Torah, the more you're going to smile. The more you learn Torah, the more happy you're going to be. The more you learn Torah, the more you just want to dance and sing to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. The more you learn Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for giving you a purpose and meaning in life. The more you learn Torah, the more you're going to thank Hashem for giving you a mission to live. The more you learn Torah, the more you thank Hashem for giving the opportunity to develop a relationship with Him. The more you learn Torah, the more you can thank Hashem for giving you the Halakha Torah. And the more you learn Torah, the more you can thank Hashem for making you part of Am Nivcha, Am School, a part of the chosen nation. I'm telling you, take advantage of this year and the future years. Just learn, 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 and live it, of course. I guarantee you, the more you learn to live Torah, the more happy you'll be. If you have any questions, please, I beg, you can ask me anything you want. Anybody here? So I got to tell you, one of the benefits of being blind, you get a cane. If I'm back with somebody I don't like, I can hit them and tell them it's an accident. A lot of my friends have been hit. And if you guys ever need to get someplace fast, call me, I'll do the driving. You'll be there in 10 minutes, either by ambulance or by hearse, but you'll be there. I'm sorry, what's his name? Yeah?
Yosef Postonik.
Okay, from where?
Fairfax, Virginia.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So,
Rabbi Chait just made Aliyah.
Yeah?
Yeah, to Modi, and I think they opened up a yeshiva, yeah.
Probably from Richmond area or no?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, I don't know them.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, you want to go blind, I'm sorry.
So, what do you do to learn Torah now?
So,
how do you learn?
Baruch Hashem, I have chavusas, Yossi Wargan and Mark Kirshner. I also have Torah tapes, and I speak to about 150, I have connections to about 150 rabbanim worldwide. Rabbel Pizvatsky from Panovich, 618-3538, Rabbi Cutler, 370-4904, Basam, 363-8928, because he's recording me, that's why. But you have no idea if I'm telling you the real numbers. But I tell you this, Yosef, even when I learn with the chavrusa, don't get me wrong, it's a matana from Hashem to have an incredible chavrusas, but it's not the same. When we get stuck on a Gemara, Rashi, or Tosfos, he has to look inside. You know, it's still not the same. But that's how you learn. But I'm not going to lie to you, I miss Torah tremendously. I have such a dream one day of learning. But that's how you learn. Okay. Any other questions? Who has a piece of paper, a big piece of paper, a regular piece of paper? Anyone? Okay, you just cannot be attentive front. Okay, yeah, what, the next question? No other questions? Yosef, you're the only one here?
Daniel Sachs.
Okay.
Daniel Sachs.
Yeah, okay. Los Angeles, right?
That's right.
Okay, so I thought I was going blind, yeah.
When you became blind at first, were you angry with Hashem at all? And then...
I tell you this, I very rarely get angry at a Kosh Baruch. I very rarely. Do I get depressed? Yes, I get depressed. I'm not going to lie to you, I'm a human being. But Breslau, I'm very close to Breslau, was called Yeshiva South Fallsburg. I think it was him, or Yaakov Smith said this to me.
You think so?
No, I haven't. He said to me, you might get, if getting depressed, but you're a human being. I don't get angry that much at Hashem, because I tell you this, when I used to get depressed, I used to think about people killed on September 11th. I go, how can I be depressed? I'm still alive. They're not alive. And I started saying to myself, Hashem loves me. And before I go to sleep, Belinet, I try to think of one or two or three good things that happened today, and I go, Hashem, thank you for A, Hashem, thank you for B, Hashem, thank you for C. And like I told you in the beginning, I brought Hashem more into my life. And yeah, so that's, I don't get angry at Hashem for anything I tease, but I'm going to tell you this, Daniel, I feel more closer to Hashem now than ever before in my life. Do I get depressed? Yes, I do get depressed. But you have to understand I'm a Met fan, you know. But I do get depressed. I'm not going to lie to you. I have dreams I'd love to see again, love to be mad, love to, you know what I'm saying? But I could be, but my Tati's running the show. It's a crush book. I have nothing to worry about. Avinu Achaman is running the show. I have nothing to worry about. Any other questions? Daniel, it's only you and
Yosef. I'm Menachem Kishani, in front of Daniel Sachs and Ari Rafi and quite a few other here from Los Angeles.
Okay. Jeff Gourmet, Pico Boulevard Deli, yes.
Yeah, I remember you speaking at a Yachad event in New York. It was like 4 years ago.
Okay.
But I remember you speaking about something, what blind people dream about, something about how their dreams are different.
No. Most of my dreams are people in the past. Most of my dreams are people in the past. I do have dreams, but I tell you this, before I go to sleep, I beg Hashem, please, may only have good dreams. Only good dreams, Hashem. Because I've had some scary ones, you know what I'm saying? But I dream that I only should have good dreams. You know what I'm saying? But I do have dreams. Most of my dreams are people in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what my way of seeing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because obviously I'm blind, you know what I'm saying? So that's my way of seeing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question, Menachem.
Yeah.
Avi.
What's name?
David Oretz.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay, next question. I'm being serious. Next question. Good. Okay. Who's next? Oh, it's come on. That's just like I'm a pain in the neck for Eitan. You're my pain in the neck for me.
And I love it.
What?
And I love it.
I know. Oh my goodness. Mom almost feels like Tisha B'Av now. Oh my goodness. You're not my type. First of all, I'm a big man, but even if I did. Let's put it this way, I wouldn't even have a half of me to go out with you. Can I tell you something?
Please.
Can I say anything I want?
Anything.
Let's just put it this way. This is from a blind man's point of view. You don't look so good. Oh, but just let's put it this way. In Meretz Hashem, when I get to see again, I don't want to see your face because I don't want to go blind. Okay, well, anyways. I wish you never going to live this one down, you know this. Right?
It's on tape, so this will be good. Next question?
That's it, stop. What's your question?
I actually have two questions. One is this, how much more of your other senses?
So, my senses increased tremendously, Shane Kamahu. About 154 numbers in my head. 052-470-5855, the Halo Guard, Yudel Blaski Shlita. by Judah Goldschmidt, 058-444-469. I mean, all my senses increase. It's a matanah from Hashem, because Hashem won't give you a nisan you can't pass. Hashem's the ultimate test maker. So therefore, without increased sense, I won't survive. I'll tell you a story. About 2-3 years ago, I was home with my mother. Both of my siblings are mad. My father was at work. I go to my mom. I smell smoke. My mother goes, well, Levi is probably the next door neighbor at a barbecue last night. At 10:30, she goes out. She sees the other next door neighbor's house on fire. I mean, I was kind of happy because that next day she thinks the house like the Bronx Zoo. She has like pigeons and everything. It's crazy, yeah. But I'm trying to say, I'm not happy. Don't worry, I'm not happy for the animals. But David, I'm trying to say, Hashem won't give you any sign you can't pass. And therefore, without the increased sense, I cannot survive. Like, I can't cross the street unless I have increased hearing. You know what I'm saying? That's one. Yeah, the second question? Will you date me? Not what?
What?
You what?
So I've heard you speak many times,
yeah.
And each time and every single time, I'm more and more inspired.
Okay.
And I'm just very curious because you've spoken hundreds and hundreds of times.
Yeah.
Is it different each time you speak, or is it harder for you to speak at a certain time, or do you like the same feeling that you have in the feeling? I mean, I speak for myself, but you inspire so many people.
Yeah.
Is it like when you're speaking or before you speak, do you like have like a certain way of, like, I don't know if it's easy for you to talk about the whole story.
No, I tell everyone, there's only one person I should be embarrassed in front of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchei HaMelechim. He's the only being I should be embarrassed in front of. Of course, you have to give cover to people, to Yidden and to Rabbanim and the Gedolei Dor. I'm not saying that. But I tell everyone, I don't know why Hashem made me blind. But I feel like this is my mission right now, to Mechazik Klai. So whether to cause them to do more mitzvahs or to do less aveiros. But I feel right now this is my mission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to speak. And I even spoke to, I guess this is Mr. Sachs' question also. I spoke to a Bezal. There were sometimes I was depressed. I go, I told a Bezal, I don't think it's right for me to speak. He goes, no, you have to speak. So right now, this is my mission. I'm not going to lie, when I start speaking about Torah, that gets me more excited because, obviously I miss Torah tremendously. You know, and I have incredible chavus now, Kiva Blumenthal Shlita, But I find this is my mission right now to speak. Oh, did I ever tell you this? About 2-3 years ago, I became a New Yorker finally. I was so happy. I finally got mugged. I was so happy. I think it was by three of it was by three of Obama's friends collecting campaign money. So always, I've been practicing this a lot. I did not know I was getting mugged. I thought a friend of mine was playing a joke on me. I was fighting with the guy. And what's strange, the police caught them. I never got back my money. I guess the police went for some nice steak dinner that night. But yeah. But always, I answer your question.
Yes,
business.
You
thanks.
I love you.
Can you hold up a second?
Okay, that's okay, go. You stand there. Okay, now. Yeah, go. Always just stay where you are.
Yeah, I'm staying.
Okay. I didn't realize you're that desperate, yeah? You got any good questions? What's the question?
Hi, my name is Isaac Lewis.
From where?
Houston, Texas.
Okay. I just met another guy from Aaron, something from Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But Merv, Isaac, aren't you in Teaneck now?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I wasn't making fun of you, Isaac. I wasn't making fun. What?
No.
I was not making fun of you. You know that.
But they're impressed.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, I tell them I might be blind. I'm not stupid. I'm not George Bush. I'm not David Owens. Yeah.
One is, do you feel that you have to see again?
Yes, I again, everything's in Hashem's hands. I believe one day I'll be seeing him become. Yeah, and hopefully I'll be dancing with David Owens. I'm being serious. At his wedding and at my wedding. I'm being serious. To women, not to, I'm being serious. I was being serious at
the time.
I was being serious.
Yes.
David, I give you a bracha. May this be your gemayis be to your right zivon.
Amen.
Okay, yes, next.
My question is,
I tell you that the Yetzer Hara was the best boxer, whatever one use your name. He knows how to battle you. He knows how to battle you whatever situation you are. You know, it says, that, why do we matter someone who goes to war to marry that woman? Because I think of Chesko Lubansky or Chaim Shmulevitz, because when they're fighting battle, you can't fight the Yetzer Hara. Because what does Hashem create to fight the Yetzer Hara? Torah. But when you're fighting, you can't learn Torah. So it teaches me that the Yetzer Hara can fight you in any manner, any way. He's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, even when you're learning Gemara with the Yetzer Hara, come on, just take a break. Come on, take a coffee break. Take a Danish break. You know what I'm saying? The Yetzer Hara is a powerful man, a powerful being. I don't really want to use the term. Yeah, he battles me. Don't kid yourself. He battles me a lot. Thank you, no problem. What's your name?
Donnie Shane from Greenwich, New York.
Okay.
I was just wondering, is it harder that you go to sleep every night and then you dream that you can see and then you wake up and there's nothing there? Like, would you have rather almost not being able to sleep in the beginning?
So somebody asked me that question. The benefit of being blind later in life, I know what human beings look like. I don't know what you look like. I'm sure you're a good-looking man. I just don't know what you look like. But I'm I know what human beings look like. You know what I'm saying? Like, someone who's born blind doesn't know what a human being looks like. Doesn't know what colors are. Like, imagine this is black, right?
White.
Okay, but that might not be the white I'm thinking of. You know what I'm saying? I know what life is about. Like, one of my teachers told me I used my cane, had a nephew born blind. He described a human being like a monster. You know what he's pointing to. Anyway, else is. But you know what I'm saying? I'm happy I got to see life. But I'll tell you something. What Donnie, you said?
Yeah.
I have no idea how I look. I know I'm very good looking. I just don't know how to look. But me says, yeah. I'm happy I got to see life. I'm happy I got to see a Gemara, Chumash, Mishnah Berurah. I'm happy I got to see Eretz Yisrael, the Kotel. Yeah, I'm very happy I got to see. Any other questions? Is that it?
I don't know.
What's your name?
Aaron Kotkin from Houston.
Okay.
I want to know, how did you make your kesher with Rabbi Robosky? How did you meet him?
So when I used to come to Eretz Yisrael, there was a yeshiva called Torah by Vegan that they used to have Americans take me around. And then I think I came to speak at Yeshiva Torah Shrag, and Rabbi Blasky asked me, could we have my bracha? And that's how we became friendly. You should just know, Rabbi Blasky is a tzaddik. Could we just sing one song for him? David, you guys make permission, can you give me permission to sing a song for you? Misha Beivach Lachol. I'm just joking, Jack. But that's so funny. I don't even see it. I think this David is never going to speak to me again, would you? Yeah, okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, Levi.
What's your name?
My name's Levi Herman from Los Angeles. So now that you have the experience of being blind, what do you say? Out of the things that's able to be lost, blind, mute, or deaf,
yeah.
Do you think this could be one of the easier things?
See, I can't tell you because I don't know what it means to be deaf. I can tell you one thing which I think is easier than not being mute. I agree. I think being mute is very hard. Especially on Shabbos, you can't write anything, you know what I'm saying? I met actually a mute person a couple of years ago, I think in Os Sameach New Shalim, I think. But that I understand, but I don't know what it means to be deaf. You know what I'm saying? I can't tell you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I can tell you this: if this is what Hashem made, said this. If Hashem made me blind, then this is the best for me. Hashem knew I can't handle being deaf or mute. You know, Hashem's the ultimate test maker. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Wait, can I ask you guys one favor?
Yeah.
I'm going to send around a paper, and it'll give me great simcha. We write on it that for at least 2 weeks, every month, we're only going to watch TV once a week out of the 4 weeks on the iPods.
Once a week out of 4 weeks? One time?
One time, sorry, once a month. Please do it for the blind man.
Oh, wow.
Come on, don't be able to lift the EV. Come on, you guys, can I tell you something? Shh, shh. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? Shh. I'm being serious here. Shh. But, shh. We learn from Rabbi Akiva. Shh. I mean, this. 12 and 12 does not equal 24. And I think Rabbi Blasky agrees with me. You can learn 12 or 13 hours, but when you turn on that TV, you not that you threw out all 13 hours, but you just, the next 13 hours is not 26, but it's 13 and 13. And I can tell you this. I'm telling you, you should take advantage of this year learning and tell them this year, next, whatever long time you learn. I'm telling you, I'm begging you, please. Once a month, that's it, to learn, watch TV one night. I'm telling you, you'll see your learning will change 110 degrees. And if you get a little bored, I'm sure I blast you, find your Gedolim books that you can go to sleep at night with, or can find your checkers or chess to play. I'm being serious. I'm telling you, don't watch TV. You don't. I'm not lying to you. Anyone agree? Okay, I'm going to pass it around. I want you to write your name. Ryan Blasky will get the thing. Okay, but don't only do it once a month, and Ryan Blasky will post that one date a month. Right, Ryan Blasky?
What? Oh, everyone has to watch on the same day.
Yeah, that one day. Why not? Why not, Ryan Blasky? No, but if you get them once a month, that's it. Is that one? What? Okay, but one day, example. Now that we start, now we're starting January, if you already watched No More for January, now February's next. Okay. Okay, next.
Does the Super Bowl count?
I guess yeshiva thing takes you, but that you can do. I mean, I think I can tell you this, Levi.
Yeah.
If you open a Gemara, don't go to the Super Bowl. I assure you, Hashem is pointing. He said, I can show you, Levi. If you stay up to learn Gemara instead of the Super Bowl, you got yourself a portion of Gan Eden. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that.
How about a Gemara without the Super Bowl?
Maybe without the Super Bowl.
While watching.
No. That's how we are learning. Because you go, I'm going to buy, oh, 49's got touchdown. I mean, come on, like, that's how we, you know that.
Very true.
I mean, if you stop with the Budweiser commercial, maybe. I'm just joking. But, I guarantee you this. I'm not saying this much. I think my blast agrees with me. If in watching the Super Bowl, you stay up to learn Gamar instead, you got yourself a Porsche Gan Eden. I guarantee you that. That much I do guarantee you. Any other questions? Yes. What's
that? Blackstein
from T-Neck. I'm sorry,
what? Ruben Blackstein from T-Neck.
Yeah, didn't you take me around today?
Yeah,
I'm just joking. Thank you very much, Ruben. Anyways,
not a problem. That's my question.
Yeah.
Have you been considered learning Braille, or have you learned Braille?
So I was studying Braille before the bar exam. I had a woman teacher. I found it a little difficult. Sorry, I asked my parents whether she could touch my hand. So her parents said, if necessary, yes, if not, not. So I opened my big mouth to her. I go, I prefer you not touch my hand unless you need to. She goes, the Almighty has to make exceptions. I said, the Almighty does, if yes, yes, if not, not. I also told her, based on Yichud, I'm not allowed to be in the house alone with you. She goes, where you are. So I told her, I keep the front door open. What I should have told her was, if President Clinton would kept half the stuff, he'd never been in any trouble. But Reuven, I came up with a song for Obama. Can I sing it for you? Can I?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Elvis, can you please leave the room? Elvis, please. What?
No, that was me.
I'm not an idiot. Oh my God, you have some time, all the time. Okay, a one, two, three. Got Obama in your face. Big disgrace. Kicking the flaming liberal Muslim all over the place. We will, Republican. Got Chelsea in your face. Big disgrace. Waving Hillary the devil, the Sutton all over the place. We will, Republican you. Got Biden in your face. Big disgrace. Kicking the liberal who doesn't shut up and falls asleep all over the place. We will, Republican you. Got David Owens in your face. Big disgrace. Kick the guy who doesn't shut up and gives you a headache all over the place. So Reuven, I'm putting on a concert Sunday night in Ingvar. Will you come?
Yeah.
It's Palm, it's only for the deaf. And Owitz, of course. But I tell you, Reuven, I'm being serious. I don't know Braille, I really don't. I found it difficult. The Lighthouse for the Blind said less and less people are learning Braille today because everything is talking. They said the ones who are the Fum Yidin because the Shabbos and Yontif. I found that there's a film lady, a big tzaddik, from the Lower East Side. She volunteered to help me out. I just found it a little difficult. I really did. I have a talking computer phone called Jaws. And anything, I'll give you my email privately because I don't want the you understand, Mark. If you send me an email, anything on the screen, it reads to me. You send me an email or I type anything on the screen, it reads to me. It's a phone called Jaws. Any other questions?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Yoram Zaghi.
From where? From where?
Boca Raton, Florida.
Okay.
How did you make this gesture with David Oratz?
Okay, so I was one time walking near a mental home. They said this guy has no friends. He's a pain in the neck. Could you please take a walk with him? I just put it this way, it's the longest 20 minutes of my life. I don't know, I'm trying to forget I made it. No, last year in Landon College I met him. Unfortunately.
What about
Akiva Blumenthal? Akiva was one of the guys who took me around. He's, yeah. Akiva Blumenthal, the Talmud Chacham, yeah, took me around. I mean, serious. He was one of the guys who took me around. Any other questions?
Do you know if they make like Braille Siddurim?
They actually do. They make this whole library in Nahavi and every that's Braille Swam. They really do. They make Braille everything now, I think. Or if not, they have a lot of Braille and they're probably making more and more. But I'm not lying, Menachem. Like, it's a move and I found it a little difficult. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Question.
Yeah, what's your name?
Josh Lankin.
From where?
Highland Park, New Jersey.
Oh, Glad 27.
Yeah.
So that's about, you went to RPY?
Yes, I did.
What Shraga Gross is a tzaddik. I'm not lying to you. I hold the wall of the guy. He's a Malach Hashem. I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what is your daily functioning like?
I mean, wake up. I'm not lying to you. Like, wake up in the morning, all that?
Yeah,
so the Lighthouse for the Blind told my family that everything's exact order. Like Shabbos socks in one drawer, we take Shabbos in the other. Shabbos shirts in one area. Everything's in exact place. I get up around 6:20, 6:25. My father goes to 6:30 minyan. He comes home and then takes me to 7:30 minyan. Then I get a ride home and they go, you know, then someone, I eat breakfast, someone picks me up to go to where I work. I work in a yeshiva in Queens as a social worker. But that's, and then someone picks me, you know, I have people, you know, all helping me out along through the day. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, you did.
But I'll tell you a funny story, Josh. I once went away for Shabbos. I noticed I had three buttons on the suit jacket. I don't remember ever having a three-button suit jacket. So I felt my pants and the jacket, they felt different. So the guy I was by for Shabbos, he says, no, Levi, the pants match. It's beautiful. On the decoration, it was on the button was some decoration. Because, Levi, that's a beautiful decoration. Monthly Shabbos, I come home, I show my mother the jacket. She goes, you idiot. You wore my jacket all Shabbos. True story. And you wanted chutzpah, she wanted it back. Just joking, but that's a true story, yeah. I'll tell you another funny story, Josh. I once went to, there's a music, Jewish music store in Borough Park called Mostly Music. I went in there, and I thought a little Hasidish boy came in, so I tapped him the head. I was touching a 93-year-old woman's head. She was not too happy. I once by accident bumped into a guy and the guy goes, what are you, blind? They go, yeah, I am. It's all true stories. Any other questions?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Nathan Lewis from Atlanta.
Okay.
I
was actually there about 2-3 years ago. Beautiful neighbor. What? What's
so
oh.
If there's one thing that would be able to do now, you could see.
So it's hard. For how long? A minute, 2 hours, you know what I'm saying?
Day.
It's hard. Probably learn Torah, see my Rebbe, or my family. I can't tell you between one of those three. You know what I'm saying? If I have a whole day, so I'll run to my Rebbe, one to my family, and then to hopefully sit up with a Gemara, Mishnah Berurah, but you know, Shulchan Aruch and learn Torah. That's what I hope, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can tell you one thing I won't do. I won't look at...
First thing you're going to do. I don't think you'd have a choice.
What?
He wouldn't let you have a choice.
Oh, trust me. You ever see Freddy Krueger? He makes Freddy Krueger look like a good looking man. What? I know, guys know him still. Okay, any other questions? No other questions?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Sam Rhodes from Los Angeles.
Okay.
Are you happier now, or were you happier when you had your vision?
See, I can't tell you before, because when I could see, I was very little test. I lost a dollar here and there. I didn't hang out with him, you know. I'm being serious, I wasn't really tested. Like, I can tell you this one thing. I do appreciate life much more. I do appreciate what a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me much more. You know what I'm saying? That's for sure. Can I tell you I'm happy? I can't tell you, because before I wasn't tested. I missed a subway, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't really tested. You know what I'm saying? But I can tell you one thing. I appreciate life. I appreciate the gifts HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me now, and I appreciate life much more. Any other questions? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, but who has the sheets?
I have a question.
What's your name?
Eric Hawkins.
Okay. Who has a sheet for the iPads?
I do.
Okay, just send it up when you finish. Yeah, when you guys are all finished, here you go.
Yes, Are you obligated to say the bracha in the morning?
So I asked, I've been a Vicky for months. He said, I said, Pokei Achivim, because I think Hashem that you guys can help me out, you can see. But Dan Siegel from Yushalayim Yerkoi said, Hashem Kavan, Hashem shall open my eyes. I can't make a bracha of Dalek candles, Shabbos candles, or Hanukkah candles. Hanukkah candles, I mean, all the oil wick. And my father makes a bracha on his, have me in mind, lights his first and lights mine. Pasha Zachar and Pau, I can't get the Leah for that. I think that's really... I can't make a bracha on lightning either, or Kiddush Levana. You know, those things I can't make, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
You ever gone to a drive-by ATM machine?
Yep.
There's Braille on it. Imagine seeing me driving up to a drive-by ATM machine. You'll be running for your life. Does it make sense, Aaron? What?
No.
You agree? I never know. What?
I agree.
It makes no logical sense. I wasn't making fun of you, Aaron. What? And by the way, it doesn't speak to you anyway. If the ATM does speak to you, you can kiss your money goodbye in New York City, you know? But yeah, I never saw anything more than that. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah, one more.
Yeah.
It's Josh again.
Okay, Highland Park, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you remember like what your family looks like?
So, yes and no. I think I do, but my imagination makes games on me, make pictures. But I tell you one thing I do remember is my Rebbe. I remember clearly what Parnas's face. I imagine, in fact, I see him right now. But again, my imagination plays games. I think in Rishon when I get to see again, hopefully, Bekobo, when I see people I know, I won't be shocked how they look. It's friends of mine or you guys that have no idea how you look, I'll be shocked. You know what I'm saying? Because I make images. You know what I'm saying? It's you people, that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But people I know, yes, they got a little bit older maybe, but you know what I'm saying? Any other questions?
Levy, as a social worker, do you ever do you feel that the situation that you're in, you kind of just like it helps just being able to, that people come up with their problems and then they just kind of don't feel that they have much of a problem anymore, or
because they talk to me, see mine. So I don't know necessarily my clients, but I see some of my friends say that to me, or some people I know. They say, "Oh, Levi, I realize I don't have much of a problem. I realize I'm focusing on Noishkeit." You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, for sure. I don't think it has to do with social work, but yeah, people look at my situation and what I have to complain about. You're right, for sure.
Does that like hurt when people say that, or is
no.
that if you use that?
No, it doesn't bother. No. I feel if anything is a compliment, you know what I'm saying? They're saying, Levi, kind of you, if I so-called can handle it, if I can, but saying, Levi, you can handle it, so for sure we can handle our little problems. You know, we have nothing to complain about. And yeah, it does not hurt at all. I tell you what, Obi?
Yeah.
What bothers me when people are very overprotective. I hate when people, you know, like I was once time many years ago walking with a buck in Yerushalayim, he was dragging me across the street. I couldn't handle it. But I tell you, I was once at one of my friend's house, right? And his father said, "Watch this, watch this, watch this." And there was like a little step to the bathroom. Watch the step. So I couldn't handle it anymore. I went to the bathroom. I lied in the bathtub and started screaming, "Help me, help me." I just put the way, the father's being carried away by Hatzalah. I'm just joking, I did that to the guy. But I tell everyone this. When you see people in need of assistance, you can say, "Can I help you?" They say no. You can walk in back of them and watch them. But I can't tell you, unless I'm going to get hit by a car, or something like that. It's so annoying when people put what they feel is good for me more than I. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what I'm saying. You can walk behind me and watch me. I don't. You know what I'm saying? But it's so annoying. I'll tell you another funny story. I was once walking with a friend of mine. I was holding onto his elbow. Next thing I know, my head's in a light pole. And my friend's sitting there laughing. I go, "Buddy, laugh today, but you're getting sued tomorrow."
It is not.
And yet, what?
Someone asked
if
it was me.
No, trust me, I would not have even walked with you. What?
Nothing.
Well, I have to tell you, don't come back to me. I'm just joking. Any other questions? Lovely. Yeah.
It's
Eitan. Yes.
You didn't say this so much now, but when I was with you 2 days ago, you were talking about how you were... You said you finished law school and that you were working in the law field.
Yeah.
What type of field do you work with? And you said you wanted, hopefully, to work in the law field again. So what type of job would you be interested in?
So I was a contract lawyer. I review contracts. Where I worked, they had someone read me. Let's example you. If I had someone to read for me, so let's say you were the reader. I would tell you, underline this, footnote this. You know, that's what, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And that's how it worked. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People underlining and footnoting, you know, everything.
Mm-hmm.
For me, a reader. I'd be open to many areas of law, But obviously, I mean, it depends. Again, I can't tell you until I get there. I don't know if I want to work in a high-priced law firm because, you know, ideally when I work with a firm area, I love working with a firm Yidden. I love Yidden, you know what I'm saying? So if I can, I love to work with a firm Yidden. Like right now, I love working the yeshiva because it's just firm Yidden, you know? Any other questions?
Yeah.
Wait, can I ask a question? Do you have another piece of paper?
Yeah, I do.
Can you sign it up here for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, welcome. How are you guys doing?
Love to see you.
Okay. Blask, you're going to love me for this. How many guys in this room?
A lot.
I'm not asking you. How many guys? About 90?
80, 70.
Okay, who has a pen that can borrow?
There you go.
But you might lose the pen. Is that a problem?
It's fine.
Okay. My friend, can I ask you for a favor?
Yeah.
Put on top of a mitzia. And if everyone could take one or two dapim, and my Blasky, should finish it in a month or two? So you can have a big siyum.
To finish what?
Two dapim, let's say.
Everyone does the whole yeshiva finish.
Yes, how many? Well, a month?
A month.
Okay, I think it's beautiful, my Blasky. What the Talmud says to this year is Thursday.
Yeah.
Either Motzi, what should you finish? Motzi Talmud says the siyum then or right before, the day before? My Blasco, which day is good? The Wednesday or Thursday night?
Thursday night.
Okay. Put on Motzi Tanis Esther, and if everyone could take two daf. But if you're taking, if you're going to take, you're going to write, then you write daf Beis, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, take the first two.
Yeah, then put down, and put the white Beis and Gimel. Because I'm sending around.
Which
I'm,
is that?
Bava Mitzia, what you guys doing? I tell you this, I think my Blasco agrees that Purim represents Torah. I'm telling you, if you finish that Maseches, I'm telling you, you bring the poem down here also. Anyway, other questions? If you don't want to, don't do, but it's just too daunting. It's not, you know what I'm saying? Let me say this. What questions?
Olivia, if you could, would you make Aliyah?
I'm open to it very much. I just think, I had a great conversation. I'm open to it for sure. But I think being, what only difficult might is being not married. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What? What did he say?
No, he's talking about the television thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's I give you permission. You can watch TV every night. Yeah, this way no one has to talk to you. I'm just joking, yeah. But oh, yeah, I'd be very much happy. Would you be open to it?
I want to make Aliyah basically more than anything.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's home sweet home here. I tell everyone this. I tell you, I have no idea. I have no idea where I'm going to live. If I end up in America, well, I have a lot of gratitude to America. I think they're incredible to Yidden. But I don't feel at home there. I know my home is Eretz Yisrael. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have gratitude because America is incredible to B'nai Yisrael. But it's not our home. You're sending it around?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Two top, please, five one. Okay, here you go.
Hi, it's Isaac.
Okay.
I was wondering if eye transplants exist?
Not that I know of. I know Israel's working on optic nerve transfer. My optic nerve died. Eye transplants does exist. Yeah, they do. But won't hurt me because my optic nerve is what died. You know what I'm saying?
Is it possible for you to get repaired or just a nace from Hashem?
Everything's a nace. When you take penicillin, that's a nace from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everything's a nace. You don't find it incredible? I can lift my hands. That's not a nace from Hashem. Can I tell you an incredible Noam Elimelech? It's a sorry man who laughed when she was told that 90 years old she's going to have get give birth to a kid. So Noam Elimelech says she wasn't laughing, she was saying thank you to Hashem. So Noam Elimelech says, why does Hashem get angry at her? She's saying thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, for giving me Yitzchak Avinu. Zag Noam Elimelech, Hashem was saying to him, why don't you say thank you to me when you lift up your hand, your leg, when you turn your head, when you turn your eyes? I tell you, Isaac, I'm not denying, don't give me, everything's an answer. I find it incredible, and I tell everyone this, no scientist has yet, the most complex, you know what the most complex thing in the world is? Besides, obviously, the Torah, is a human body. And no one could copy a human body yet. Because it's all from Hashem. No one could have thought of a kidney, liver, heart, you know what I'm saying? A brain, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I tell everyone, everything's a nace. When you see a little seed go into the ground, and suddenly it's a tree, you'll find an incredible nace. I'm asking Isaac, you don't agree?
No, I'm
by Victor Miller's Atzah, he used to keep apple seeds in his pocket. To show him that this, to just obviously, Amigdamil was a tzaddik, he didn't need to, but he kept up to show Yad Hashem how this little apple seed, boom, could create a big, gigantic apple tree. It's all from a Kashbach, it doesn't make logical sense. And I'll tell you something else, Isaac. how the Jewish people survive, it makes no logical sense. If you think about it, 1945, about a little bit more than 67 and a half years ago, the war ended, the Holocaust ended. Look how many yeshivas, seminaries, kolos, and how many from Jews in the world. It doesn't make logical sense. Because Yidden goes above laws of nature. We go according to the law of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the law of Avinu Avrahaman. The state of Israel doesn't make sense how we exist. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's the best.
Thank you.
No problem. Any other questions? Wait, where's the iPod thing, by the way?
Right here.
Okay. No more other questions?
No.
Okay, let me... What? You have one?
Yeah.
What's your name? Okay, so Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay.
So how many... This is a follow-up question, but how many times have you spoken in front of
these? In front of what? Probably about a good thousand. I don't count specifically, but example, on this trip, it's probably going to be the 10 or 11 already. I don't take example. I can tell you where I've been flown to Norfolk, Virginia. I've been flown to Toronto, Canada, Cincinnati, England. Obviously, I've spoken California, Miami, Connecticut. I think I just don't remember anymore. Teaneck, you know, New York. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And my other question was, what's the most ridiculous question
that anyone's
ever asked?
How'd I go to the bathroom? Was one of them. You want to hear the most craziest one? This is the craziest. Insulted me. Is David always my friend? I don't know. I think always is like. What?
That means a lot of people know who I am. They're asking me who I am.
No, because. Yeah, you're America's most wanted to be taught. It's not touching. Sorry, I have to do that always. I'm sorry. No, but I mean, it's. That was probably one of my most difficult questions. Is like, how do I go to the bathroom? I don't remember all of it, but that's probably one up there. Any other questions?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Any other questions? No other questions? So I just tell you this. I'm telling you this. What you should do. I'm being serious. Let Kadosh Baruch Hu come into your life. Before you go to sleep, think of one or two or three good things and say, Hashem, thank you for A, thank you for B, thank you for C. Before you do it, say, I'm doing it, B'li Neder. But I'm telling you, and talk to Hashem. Let Hashem enter your life. Second of all, take advantage of your Baim here. They love you as their own children. Ask them questions. And when you leave Torah Shraga, keep in touch with them. Third of all, learn Torah. Learn and live Torah. I guarantee you this. The more you learn to lift Torah, the more happy you're going to be. And I guarantee you this. If you're going to stay up to learn Gemara instead of watching the Super Bowl or Torah, I guarantee you got a portion of Gan Eden. And fourth of all, help Klal Yisrael. Just wait. Where's the Gemara paper going? Where's that?
It's still going around, yeah.
Okay, David, you don't participate.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to watch TV.
I know, please. Because you probably think Gemara's like, watch your comic books. But yes, sir. You guys wait just for so long, because I just want to finish this. Shreya Am
Shekhala, Shreya Am Shekhala, Shreya Am Shekhala, Shreya Am Shekhala, Yeah.
Shreya.
Oh, okay. We're the brief from our downstairs.